This is a Suno India production and you're listening to the Suno India Show.
The Ministry of Information and Broadcasting issued a notification last month seeking comments on proposed changes to the Cinematograph Act 1952. The most controversial feature of the draft amendment bill is that it allows the union government to call for the re-examination of any film. If passed, this would mean that even after a film is certified and cleared by the Central Board of Film Certification, or CBFC, the government can still reverse its decision or ask for the film to be re-examined. This is the latest in a slew of changes for filmmakers in India. In April, the Film Certification Appellate Tribunal, or FCAT, was dissolved by the Ministry of Law and Justice. Previously, if the CBFC did not certify a film or ask for changes that filmmakers did not agree with, they could go to the FCAT for redressal. Now they will have to move to high courts. So what does this mean for filmmakers and how much will this impact the films we watch in this country? Hi, I am Surya Tapa Mukherjee, your host for this episode of the Suno India Show. I spoke to filmmaker Leena Manimekale about these developments for the Indian film industry. Despite receiving awards and acclaim in film festivals at home and abroad, Leena has repeatedly run into trouble with certification. These new changes, she says, have cast doubts on her future as a filmmaker in this country. What are for you the most striking features of the Cinematograph Amendment Bill 2021, especially as a filmmaker?
What actually worries me or feels like a death blow is this revisionary powers given to the union government. If the union government thinks that this film doesn't fit their agenda, they can revoke or recall the film even after CBFC certifying it, or even if after the film clears the judicial struggle, like if at all the film had been refused in CBFC, if the film had gone to the FCAT or to the high courts or the Supreme Courts, even if the film had succeeded in clearing all these things, this amendment, the Cinematograph Act 2021 amendment, gives superior powers to the union government to recall the film which is already certified by the agency which is meant to do that. So this is really problematic. Actually, this has to be dropped. Otherwise, like, you know, the filmmaking will be dead in this country. And the other things that, that are concerning filmmakers is the penalizing piracy. Definitely piracy is, creating a lot of losses in this country. But it is already penalized. But this suggestions that has been given in the new amendments, we are afraid, as filmmakers, we are afraid whether it will be again, you know, used against the filmmakers themselves, because there are no specifications like, you know, minimal use, fair use, or derivative use. You know, there are instances where filmmakers use very minimal, under the fair use category, to support their creative work. So even this amendments like might, we are afraid whether it will create criminals out of citizens. It has to be very systemic procedures have to come in place to curb piracy in India.
Can you tell us from your own experience, what is the current process of getting certification for a film? Can you take us through the steps?
See, I made a feature called Sengadal, The Dead Sea, in 2011. And that is a people participatory film. It's a cinema verite where I made the fishermen and refugees in the Indo-Sri Lankan border, the real refugees and fishermen, to, act in my film. I mean, I believe in community telling their own stories. So that's when, you know, it's 2010. That's when I shot the film. And 2009, the war came to an end. The civil war, like 30-year-long civil war, came to an end in Sri Lanka. And this film talks about the fishermen in the Indo-Sri Lankan border show who live in Kambipada village. That's the last corner of the last tip of this country, India. So southernmost tip. So, and the refugees in Mandapam camp. They participated in the film, and that's how the film was made. The film was made in 2010. The war got over in 2009, and there were lots of political inferences in the film. So CBFC refused to certify the film, and it said it is unfit for screenings. And the reasons they told was there are lots of political inferences in the film that can create, you know, issues if the film gets screened publicly. And they were also objecting to the language. They found the language very profane. I don't sanitize language when I make films. I use the same language the community used to speak in their daily lives. But CBFC found it, you know, inflammatory, unparliamentary or whatever. So these are the words they used. They said, like, you know, they can't allow this language. And the third reason they said, like, Indo-Sri Lankan bilateral relationship will be affected by this film because there are lots of denigrating, you know, statements made in the film. Actually, you know, you have to adhere to status quo. If you question the status quo, CBFC will have a huge problem because they are political appointees. They are just bureaucrats. They have no idea about creative expressions. They have no idea about, like, filmmaking. It is just that they just want to save their chairs and, you know, they give bans and chops and cuts to the films. And yeah, I mean, you are left with going to revision or to the FCAT. I went to the FCAT because I find revision is another, you know, enlarged version of CBFC. So there's no point because it also means a lot of money. Like you have to pay fees, which, like, it is ridiculous that the fees is the same for, you know, the huge mainstream films where crores of money has been invested. The same fee you will have to, like, pay even if you're making indies and, like, you know, documentaries and, you know, which are not profit oriented. So that is another problem with CBFC. So you go to FCAT. So I went to FCAT. It is Film Certification Appellate Tribunal. And it was like months of legal struggle. I should say, like, almost 9 to 11 months, I should say. Yeah. So I was, like, you know, going back and forth to Delhi because FCAT sits in Delhi. But finally, I got it cleared without a single cut. So that happened in Sengadal, and then Sengadal went ahead and was selected in Indian Panorama. That was the only Tamil film which was selected in Indian Panorama in 2011. And it went to, like, around 100 film festivals across the world. But I still couldn't, you know, release it locally because of all this ban and controversies, and market economy is against political films. So even after being chosen by Indian Panorama, I never had a Doordarshan had a guideline to buy films that are selected by Indian Panorama. But again, my film was certified A, and I never had success in selling satellite rights of the film. So again, as a political filmmaker, I'm only limited to this festival releases and, you know, festival screenings and nonprofit screenings. I'm still blocked from the theatrical screenings and satellite premieres because, you know, the certification is totally against public exhibition of my film. That said, I again make a film in 2019, which is called Madathi and Unfairy Tale. And I go to CBFC, and CBFC says, like, we cannot certify this film because it portrays a minor in infatuation. And again, the language is profane. And the third reason they said, like, it affects the sentiments of Hindus. So these are the reasons they said. And then again, I had to go to the tribunal. And, you know, I had to argue that the language is very, very important because this is about, the film is about sexual violence, caste-based sexual violence. And the language is where the entire culture of rape is being encoded. And I have to use the language how community uses. So I had to fight for that. And about the minor being infatuated, I had to tell them, like, I was infatuated when I was 13 year old. And, you know, portrayal of adolescents, you know, cannot be barred. So, and the third thing about the offending the sentiments of Hindus. Yes, definitely, if a religion propagates caste system and advocates it by its sacred texts and keeps a specific population under exploitation and discrimination, we definitely have to, as an artist, I think I have to, you know, question it. And that's exactly what I've done in the film. And again, FCAT clears my film without a single cut. Not even one audio cut was given in the film. And but they again certified it as A.
Could you first help us give context in the way the Central Board of Film Certification currently functions?
See, this whole Cinematograph Act came into practice in India in 1918 when colonial powers were there. And these acts were put in practice because they thought colonial subjects, like we people, were unruly and we have to be controlled and we are illiterates and we will be incited into passion. So these were the reasons why 1918 Cinematograph Act came into practice. It was actually introduced by British government. Then after independence in 1952, we had a revised, the same 1918, got into an avatar, 1952 Cinematograph Act. But that Cinematograph Act had a lot of issues which treat the free citizens of this country from a very paternalistic view, you know. So, see, 2013 we had Justice Mukul's committee, and 2016 we had filmmaker Shyam Benegal's committee, you know, to make the CBFC, you know, more democratic and just make it operate just as a certifying body, not a censoring body. Censorship in a democracy is absurd, right? Like, what is a censorship agency doing in a democratic country? That's a major question. CBFC is Central Board of Film Certification. It is not Censor Board of Film Certification. So there is no room to chop or cut the films that are made. I mean, it is the role of CBFC is just to certify it, whether it has to be watched, whether the children can watch it or they should watch with the paternal guidance. So that's all. Like, that's how certification exists in many of the countries, you know, in the civilized countries. So if this country is to be called a democracy, you know, the CBFC as such should only do the role of certification, but not censorship. We have to be aware of the constitutional rights we have. Article 19A protects every citizen, you know, of her or his freedom of speech. So you are like any creator is entitled to create something without the state intervention. Same thing applies to the viewer. Like, every viewer is entitled to watch a work of art without state intervention. But this has been always hassled by agencies like CBFC.
Recently, the central government dissolved the Film Certification Appellate Tribunal. How do you feel about these developments? Do you think this will have an impact on your work?
One fine day, you get to read in the newspapers that FCAT is abolished. There is no debate, there is no public comments, nothing has been invited. They just, you know, abolished the whole tribunal itself. which means if a filmmaker has redressal with CBFC's decisions, a filmmaker has to approach High Court or Supreme Court, which is like, you know, you have to rely on all these justice systems for how long? It is already the courts are overburdened. So you imagine filmmakers standing in the queue after making the film in High Courts and Supreme Courts for the clearance. This is actually a death knell for, you know, creative expressions, freedom of speech, and definitely for political filmmakers. You know, there is no way you can survive, like you can make films. And without FCAT, I wouldn't have cleared my film at all. Like till now, the films wouldn't have, you know, got its light because, for example, like if FCAT it doesn't exist now. If I have made Sengadal or Madati now, CBFC, you know, would have refused my film as usual. Then I have to find a lawyer and, you know, file a case in the High Court or in the Delhi High Court or wherever. And you just imagine how long it will take for me to clear the film. This is exactly where we are.
We have also had the government's new IT rules, which brought OTT platforms into the same purview as theatrical releases. The matter is currently with the Supreme Court, but if implemented, what would this mean for you in terms of showing your films online?
We still have to wait and see if that will come to practice. If that comes to practice, then OTT platforms will be a huge issue. But still, there is indirect pressure from the News and Broadcasting Ministry to the OTT platforms because they have given guidelines to them. Since there are lots of, you know, discourse around, you know, web series like Sacred Games and Laila, like, you know, some web series that made political statements and criticisms were under radar by the government. And, you know, there's, I think the OTT platforms are also facing a lot of legal cases, you know. So, like for me as a filmmaker, to pitch something as originals to OTT platform, no platform is now willing to take any political content. They ask me, like, come with a horror subject or some paranormal genre films, or please don't come to us with political content. This is exactly what OTT platforms tell the filmmakers. They discourage filmmakers pitching political content. This is for originals because they already facing issues with what they have commissioned earlier. With the films they license or the films they acquire, they're asking for a CC. It's like, for example, for Madati, it wouldn't be streaming in eStream if I hadn't had a CC, I mean, Sansa clearance, which means like I had a certificate from CBFC and that helped me streaming in a OTT platform. So if you're licensing, if you're like, you know, having a VOD arrangement with the OTT, it means you have to have a CC. Let's not think that there is no censorship in OTT. There is definitely, it's not open because the IT rules they have introduced is still under judiciary observation. So it is not in the open, but definitely they are, the News and Broadcasting Ministry is creating indirect pressures to the OTT platform not to commission political, overtly political content or anything which means dissent. To, you know, for the films which are not commissioned as originals but procured as a licensee or whatever, you need a CC. That's the, so, I mean, OTT, there is no censorship in OTT, doesn't make any sense. Definitely, there is censorship in OTT.
As you mentioned, the whole re-examination of films is a clause of this new bill. So how do you think this is going to affect you in the process of making a film? Will you be more concerned in terms of the stories you're telling or the language you're using?
See, if a filmmaker is pushed to think, even in the stage of ideation, in the stage of conceptualization, whether I can write this film, whether this will get through the whole censorship system in this country. If you're pushed to do that, I think it is death of art. Like, it's like, I mean, because you're not free to express, you're not free to think, you're not free to pursue what you want to, you know, express. So this is something which, as a citizen of a democratic country, I should not be pushed to do that. Like, when I think about a subject, I should not be thinking about CBFC. I should not be thinking about a cinematograph act. I should be thinking about the subject. I shouldn't be thinking about the film which I will be making in the subsequent time. So this whole thing of self-censorship, this whole climate of fear, this climate of, whether you will be able to finish the film or, you know, exhibit your film, this whole pressure in film exhibition is definitely a very, very dangerous pattern, and this is not welcome. And in a as a free country, a filmmaker in this country should be able to express freely, think freely, and make films freely. If that's not possible, then forget about a vibrant film culture.
Have you seen any sort of self-censorship that happens in the industry? Or even like with the people that you have worked with, has anybody ever brought up self-censorship or those sort of tendencies or that kind of thinking when making a film?
No, definitely. That is all these amendments and, the more and more difficult it is going to be for a filmmaker to clear the film. Nobody is going to, even think about making a political film or, anything that is called dissent. It's like being a subject in a dictatorship. Filmmakers in Iran and filmmakers in like that, you get to hear about what happened in Nazi Germany and what happened in Soviet Union, all these places where filmmakers constantly were thinking about being arrested or being killed or being penalized for what they are making. So exactly the same kind of climate has set in this country because of this amendment. Because if a union government has a superpower to revoke a film even after being certified, it's a threat. It feels like all filmmakers have to leave this country if they want to express freely. Because this kind of self-censorship will become rampant. Because the moment you think of making a film, you will start thinking about, what would be the legal struggle. Now, how to get this film out? First, who will commission this film? Who will produce this film? And even if you find ways to produce the film, like independently or by crowdfunding or not through the market route, but in the different routes. But again, at the end of the day, you want to show your film. If the film exhibition is going to be this threatened by all this cinematograph act and, the superpowers that union government wants to have, then there won't be any free narratives. There will be narratives that will praise the government, or there will be narratives, that will push the agenda of the government, or there will be narratives which is completely superficial and it's not going to contribute to a democratic culture in this country.
So lastly, I would just like to ask, how do these developments make you feel personally? Does it worry you about your work, like the future of your work? How does it make you feel?
No, these amendments have to be dropped. If they are not dropped and this is going to continue, then I have no future here. I can't, like, the kind of films I'm making. In the last 18 years, I've made around 15 documentaries and 2 features and lots of experimental works. I'm already, threatened to continue live in this country if this amendment is going to be passed. Filmmakers like me, you know, there is no way other than, like, leaving this country, because it is, you have absolutely no future here if these amendments have to be dropped. And we have to fight and see this CBFC to operate as a certification board and not as a censor board. And there should be appellate tribunal. It should be reinstated. Otherwise, the redressals that we have with CBFC, even if it is a certification board, we might have redressals on what certification you get for your film. So tribunal has to be in place, because that's an urgent committee that is specially mentioned, constituted for filmmakers. That has to be in place. And I can't imagine filing a case in High Court, which is already overburdened with crores of cases and going for years together. So FCAT has to be reinstated, and CBFC has to be guidelined to do only certification but not censorship. And there should be clear classification of public screenings, because with the Cinematograph Act, this public screenings, the whole thing is so obscure. See, we have screenings as an indie filmmaker, like, it's just not theatrical screening. I have screenings with institutions, universities. I have public screenings with the film societies, with nonprofits, with museums and galleries. As such, in the Cinematograph Act, all the public screenings are, treated the same, which is ridiculous. So again, actually, the committee led by Shyam Benegal and Justice Mukul have given clear guidelines. It is just, have to be implemented in the Cinematograph Act. Anything new is not necessary. So what Union government is trying to do with this amendment is to become behave as a dictator and to make this country a dictatorship. And it is like a neo-colonization. Just imagine a democratic country with its constitutional laws treating people as subjects, as some, colonial subjects. This is exactly what this new amendments in Cinematograph Act means.
Please rate our podcast and leave a comment if you like it. Underreported and underrepresented stories can become mainstream only if it reaches more people. So please support us by visiting a contributing page on our website, sunoindia.in, or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. ¶¶